Baraboo, we take you live to the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this lovely Sunday morning. Our liturgist this morning is Christy Kinneman. Our radio sponsor for this morning is Jane Litcher in honor of Lucinda and Lloyd Gruber's anniversary. A couple of other announcements for you, too, this morning. A heads up for something coming up in 2 weeks. On the 25th of this month, we have two special guests who will be with us in worship, one you know and one you don't. I've asked Shirley Lenved if she would do the sermon on the 25th, because I've asked her to talk about her particular interest in the environment, you know, the world that we live in, and how that links itself to her faith, how her faith informs how much she loves to hug trees. And she said yes, and then she asked if she could bring a good friend along. His name is Ken Lundquist. He's a musician. He has played around here a lot. I think he may know the name anyway. He will be with us for the same service. He is going to do two songs for the kids during the kids' time, and then he will have a couple songs for us during the worship service and a special benediction song that he's going to do. So it'll be a lot of activity, a lot of music on that Sunday. Put it on your calendar. Tell your friends, bring everybody along, and we'll have a special day that day. Rose has a couple of announcements she wants to give us, which I think will finish us for now.
The minutes and all the notes for the annual meeting are in the back in the narthex. Please grab one before you leave and bring it back with you. Our annual meeting is on Sunday, March 3rd, I believe. It's March. It's the first Sunday in March, and that will take place immediately following the service. So just a reminder to grab that. There's also a revised constitution that we talked about last year at the annual meeting. when you look at it, you'll see things in red. If something is in black and it's not crossed out, it will remain in the Constitution. If it is in black and it is crossed off, whatever is in red below it are what we are asking for you to accept and vote on that Sunday. So, and if you do have questions for it, please contact me or anybody on consistory so we can have answers for you at the annual meeting or make the right changes. Lent starts this week. Wow, where'd that come from? Ash Wednesday will be on Wednesday here at the church at 6 p.m. We will have communion and the imposition of ashes. This is the first time in all the years I've belonged here that our church has offered that, so I'm kind of excited about it since Pastor Fred is no longer at St. John's Lutheran. After that, every Wednesday we'll have a soup gathering for soup and bread. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you would like to make soup, please sign up, and we would be greatly appreciated, and we hope to see you there. That will start at 5:30 and go till 6:30. Hopefully, some of our choir members can then attend and sneak off to choir. It's a fun time. We did it last year, and we had a nice conversation. And instead of a service, we just sit down there and chat, kind of. Also, we have coffee fellowship this morning. This will be the last coffee fellowship until after Lent. And that's all I have.
Taking Lent seriously this year, hey, Rose? No trees between now and Easter? There is in the bulletin today a schedule of the topics we'll be talking about during the soup suppers on those Wednesdays in Lent. I'll say more about that next week, but you can get a head start on looking at what we're going to be talking about. Any other announcements out there that I was not aware of that need to be made? Then let me give to you what is the first UCC welcome to the whole world. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary. This is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First United Church of Christ. So come to worship and to be nourished by the bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We are looking forward to getting acquainted. And now, if you would, settle into where you're sitting. Close your eyes if you would like to. Take a deep breath. What you just took in signals for you the presence of God. Christy will lead us in our call to worship. If you're able, would you please stand?
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Speaks to us and summons us.
God gathers us in covenant.
God's glory shines forth.
Let us worship God.
This morning is number 451 in the New Century Hymnal and on the screen. Be thou my vision. Would you join me, please, in our morning prayer? Let us pray. Holy One, you have called us to yourself. Our only response, inadequate as it may be, is to turn your way. You have called us to each other. Our response, as far as we can manage it, is to be loving and kind. You have called us to our neighbor. Our best response, as much as we are able, will be compassion, understanding, and generosity. And you have called us to the creation with a necessary response now is a caring conservation and a holy frugality. When we fail to hear your call, open our ears. When we fail to heed your call, open our hearts. Make of us grateful reflections of your goodness, we pray. Amen. There is no wrong you can confess for which you have not already and long ago been forgiven. This is the gospel for you today, the good news by which we are made whole and for which we all say out loud, thanks be to God.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
Be seated, please. This is not the table of this church or any church. It is the table of our Lord, and it is made ready for all of you. Wherever you are welcome. If you have more faith than you can manage or less than you need, if you come here often or have never been here before, if you know Jesus well or have never met him, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever brought you here this morning, you are welcome at this table, not because I'm inviting you, but because Jesus himself invites you. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "Come to me, all who labor under heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and gentle of spirit, and here you will find rest for your soul." Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, we praise and bless you for the creation, for the gift of life, for your abiding love, for you are the source of all that is good. We thank you for calling us to walk together in the way of Jesus, for breathing this new life into us, and we thank you for this bread of life and this cup of salvation, offering to us the very presence of Christ. Bless us now in our eating and drinking, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the living Christ at this table, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. On that night, remember, when Jesus sat at table with his friends just before they betrayed him, he took a loaf of bread, and he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. When you eat," he said, "remember me." After supper, he took a cup and blessed that and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is my blood of the covenant. This cup makes possible a lasting relationship between you and me. And when you drink, remember me." We come here every week. We eat and drink in the company of each other in the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming as we do this what is the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends, the people of God. Come. Everything is now ready. Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, at this table we are fed and nourished. At this table we are reminded that we are yours now and forever, always held safe in your care and keeping. For this gift and for all of your grace, we are grateful. Amen. You're all by yourself here today. You going to come up anyway? You get to be the entire focus of my attention for the next 2 minutes. How's that feel? That okay? That's good? Wow. I don't hear that all the time. Should we do what we do sometimes to see what somebody has out there? You want to do that? You want to go get it when they raise a hand? Okay. Somebody out there has something interesting in their purse or pocket. I don't know what it is, but you do. First hand that goes up. Over there, Cliff has something he wants to do. This one scares me more than most. Do you know what this is? You do. I bet because your grandpa knows how to use tools, right? This is magic. With one of these things, you can either get in a lot of trouble or out of a lot of trouble. Which do you want today? Do you want to get in trouble or out of trouble?
Out of trouble.
Out of trouble. Okay, that's less fun, but let's see. Okay. We'll see how many tools there are in here, and we'll see what we can do.
One of my cousins have those.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they use them for getting in or out of trouble? Could be either, I suppose, huh? Well, okay. This is a pair of tweezers, I think. What kind of trouble can you get out of with tweezers?
Pinching someone.
Actually, getting into trouble is pinching someone, but getting out of trouble, what can you do with these?
Helping someone get their sliver out.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Taking a sliver out of somebody, you can help somebody if they get a sliver in their finger. That hurts. I've had those. This.
I had a problem with my hand one time.
Did you? I had one in the knuckle of that finger one time, straight into the knuckle. It hurt, and it hurt. I just never seen anything hurt quite like that. So I went to the doctor, and he looked at that and said, "Well, I can take it out, but it's going to hurt." And I said to him, "It already hurts." And he said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." So he went into that really tender spot. Oh, man, that hurt. But I was glad to get it out. This is a what? Can opener. What can you do with a can opener to get out of trouble?
Helping someone get their can open.
You can help somebody get their can open, and if they're really hungry and it's good food, they're going to get the can open. Good job. This is a knife. How do you get out of trouble with a knife? Or how can... Cutting some food. So if somebody has a loaf of bread, a very small loaf of bread, you can slice the bread for them. Right? Or this would really work good for if you had a hot dog. And you only had one hot dog and there were two friends. What do you do with a knife?
Split it.
You cut the hot dog right in...
In the middle
and give half to each of you. Very good. And this is scissors. How do you get out of trouble with a pair of scissors?
Cutting paper.
Cutting paper? How does that get you out of trouble?
You're cutting.
The paper doesn't want to be cut, does it?
Yeah.
It does? Why would the paper want to be cut?
Because you're making a heart.
Oh! So you take a piece of paper and you What do you do with it first, though?
Fold it and then cut it.
You know how to do that. What color is the heart going to be?
Red.
Red. So you fold it in half, and then you go, and you open it up, and then what do you do with the heart?
You can write something.
Uh-huh. And then what do you do with it? You write something on it. Then what do you do?
You can decorate it.
And you decorate it. And then what do you do?
Give it
to somebody. Give your heart to somebody. What does it mean to give your heart to somebody?
For Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you do it for Valentine's Day. And do you do it for people that you don't like at all? No? Well, you might, but you might not too. But if you give it to somebody, what are you saying with a heart that's all decorated pretty? What does that mean?
It's Valentine's
Day, and so what are you saying to them? Watch this. What are somebody saying to you when they give you a heart, all of you at one time? Did you hear that? Aren't they good? When you give somebody a heart, when you give them your heart, you're saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. Like that, right? So this is an amazingly good thing to have in your pocket. There's no end of good you can do with one of these things. Let's pray. God of many solutions, God of the great open heart, God who loves us more than we can imagine, we thank you and we ask always to be kept in that loving presence. Amen. Now, would you take that back on your way? We don't have a choir anthem today because the choir is in other places, so we're going to move that to another day and move into our scripture reading. So Christy has our first reading for us.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things."
Thank you, Christy. Today in the church calendar is Transfiguration Sunday. It's a day that always comes the last Sunday before the beginning of Lent, and it's a day when we read the story of Jesus and his disciples on the mountain when he is transfigured. And that word transfigured is an interesting one. It means to be changed from one way of being into another way of being. The Greek word in the New Testament that is translated transfiguration is metamorphosis. And metamorphosis is what a caterpillar goes through when it makes a cocoon and then turns into a ball of jelly, and then gets reformed into a beautiful butterfly, metamorphosis, which is why you have that picture on your bulletin cover this morning. So I'm going to read for you Mark's version of the of the Transfiguration story. This is Mark 9, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus said to them, to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. This ends the reading of our lessons for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are true, and we can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks. And Peter confesses what they were all thinking, or at least hoping. "You are the Messiah of God." Surprisingly, Peter is not given a gold star for the right answer. Instead, Jesus seems to change the subject. Great suffering lies ahead, he tells them. Rejection by his own people, death on a Roman cross, and then a raising on the third day. The disciples are baffled, of course. None of this is what messiahs do. And that raised on the third day part just makes no sense at all to them. Then it gets worse. "Anyone who wants to follow him," Jesus says, "must take up their own cross and prepare for the same treatment." And then, right after he tells them they're about to die, he makes this cryptic promise, "There are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Well, perhaps what happens next, that strange and wonderful night on the mountaintop, fulfills the promise. Jesus climbs a mountain with Peter and James and John. They travel up the mountain to pray, and in a pattern that will repeat itself later, while Jesus prays, they fall asleep until the light comes on. While Jesus is praying, the appearance of his face changes. His clothes become a dazzling Mr. Clean white. Moses and Elijah appear. Now, that part might have made some strange sense to the disciples, because centuries before, Moses had promised that one day a prophet like him would appear, someone they would need to listen to. His presence there on the mountain suggests that Jesus is that person. And Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, had said that Elijah would one day return to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God and the day of the Lord. So Elijah and Moses showing up right then signals for Peter and James and John that something big is about to happen. And then there is this cloud. And the voice, frightening in its strangeness, overwhelming in its force, "This is my Son, my chosen, listen to him." The disciples are terrified. I would have been. And then everything goes silent and dark. They look up and they see only Jesus. "What just happened?" they wonder. "Did anything happen? A vision, maybe? Their overwrought imaginations? Something they ate for supper, perhaps?" They don't know. And they don't understand. On the way down the mountain the next morning, Jesus tells the three disciples who are with him what he already told them a few days before, that he would soon be taken from them, crucified by Rome, only to rise again 3 days later. So what's going on here? We take a step back. What we see is Mark crafting a story. Something happened on that mountain. Peter and James and John agree that it's indescribable. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the gospel writers, do their best to describe it anyway. On one side of the mountain, Peter confesses Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus responds, yes, but the Messiah must suffer rejection and death. On the other side of the mountain, Jesus tells him to say nothing until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And in between is this glorious, mysterious, and completely baffling night on top of the mountain. Jesus glows with the blinding light. Moses and Elijah confirm what Jesus already knows, and the voice booms out of the cloud. This is my Son. Listen to him. So what do you imagine is the point? And that's a common question with these kinds of stories. What does it mean for me today? There's a couple things I might say about that. First, I'm pretty sure that's the wrong question. The focus here is on Jesus. The story is about him. There isn't much here about how you and I should live day to day. And that's true if you think about it for most of the Bible, especially for most of the New Testament. The story isn't about us. The story is always about Jesus. And second, if there is a point here, I'm quite sure I don't know what it is. This will sound strange, I suppose, but it's true. I've never really liked this story. It has always mystified me. I have never been able to figure it out, and I like to figure things out. Some time ago now, I read a commentary on this passage where the author said what I just said, that the story doesn't make a lot of sense. But then he added, and that is the point. The mystery is what the story is about. Think about it. Up until this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus is pretty much just this guy, an extraordinary human being, to be sure, an incisive, articulate, a powerful teacher, but simply a man nonetheless. Until the day that he climbs the mountain with Peter, James, and John, the mountaintop erupts with a blinding light that seems to be coming out of him, a light that every place else in Scripture signals the presence of God. Moses and Elijah, possibly the two greatest saints in the Hebrew Bible, drop by for a chat. And clearly they have come to serve him, not to be served by him. And then there is this bellowing voice. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. What could we possibly say about all this? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe this time we just shut up and watch the jaw-dropping majesty, the mind-numbing mystery. Maybe this is one of those times when words just fail us. Mark says about Peter, James, and John, they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. And don't think the others didn't ask them about it. Once they got over the disappointment of being left behind, they would have peppered Peter and James and John with questions. The best the three could have said was something like, you wouldn't understand. I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. Unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Gospel of John doesn't even try to tell, much less explain, this story. The closest John comes is in the introduction to his gospel, where he wrote this: the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, John said. It is God, the Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made God known. You see, an encounter with the divine cannot easily be rendered into words. To describe the Holy One is way, way beyond our feeble speech. And so instead we have stories like this one. Stories of mystery without explanation. Stories that crack open the door to the divine, letting out just as much light as we can stand. That's what we get. And for now, it'll have to do. For now, the mystery will have to be enough. This is my son, the voice says from the cloud. Listen to him. Listen to him, because that strange, unexplainable night on the mountain won't be the end of the mystery. The path ahead of us is about to turn dark. Here we are once again, about to step into the Lenten season. We have 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter morning set aside for us to contemplate this divine mystery. 40 days, if we're willing to take them, to ponder and wander and wait. 40 days of a mostly downhill journey into the gathering darkness of Good Friday, that deafening silence of the Saturday after. 40 days until we see the even more mysterious, even brighter light of Easter morning. It's good that we're beginning this journey through darkness on a mountaintop with a story that embeds in us the memory of light. And it starts getting darker. As it starts getting darker, it is this memory, this light, that will carry us through. This is my son, my chosen. The voice from the cloud says, listen to him. Listen and trust this light, even in the darkness. Whatever darkness you find yourself in, trust this light. It will keep you company from here all the way to resurrection. Amen. This is our time to pray together, to say out loud what or who we are praying for, to share what we may have seen or experience that mysterious light of the presence of God in the past week.
I'll go first. Am I on? Let's all keep Larry Johnson in our prayers this week as he's undergoing some tests, and we want him around for a while. He's a good pain in the side. And also, let's keep Nettie Gander in our prayers as she's going through recovery of, I believe she had hip surgery, right? Mm-hmm. And there's two addresses in the bulletin for Nettie, one to send Get Well cards to, and one we're doing a
birthday shower.
Birthday cards, yes.
90th, I think.
90th. I wasn't sure if I should say anything if she was listening on the radio, but she might not be.
Good morning. I've been waiting a couple weeks to announce the fact that my son and daughter-in-law are going to have a new baby, and Aria would be a big sister, and I was waiting until after the doctor appointment this week, and unfortunately, Gina miscarried the baby. So it's been a very tough week. Aria was so looking forward to being a big sister, so please keep them in your prayers and pray to God that they have a second chance.
That's a very, very tough loss to weather. Kathy.
Well, we've been doing a lot of doctoring the last couple of weeks, and I am just amazed at the staff in these hospitals, how tender and caring they are, and how professional. They just know what they're doing. And sometimes we get really hard on our health care, but I think we have really good health care in this country.
Yeah, I. Really.
This weekend, we had a lot, yesterday, we had a lot of people come into the community, a lot of people who hadn't been here before for Eagle Watching Days, and it was really fun to see them come through and explore things in the community, and I was thankful for the opportunity to be able to give them directions and answer questions and help them find what they were looking for, so that they could, you know, go to some of the events that were taking place. I was also thankful that yesterday when my son and my husband were working on an old fuel tank, that when they cut it open, they didn't blow themselves up. And one more thing I'd like to add that I didn't get a chance to during announcements is that after the February 25th service, we're going to have a little meeting afterwards down in the fireside room, just to allow people to ask questions and to maybe give me some ideas and suggestions about things they'd like to see us do in the way of the climate change and in the environment and whatever kinds of things that they have concerns about that day.
Thank you, Shirley. I forgot to mention that part in the announcement.
Oh, I want to give a big shout out to Peggy. You know, a lot of the office angels are, they were southern birds, I guess. Tammy's just on vacation. She will come back, but Peggy really helped me this week getting all the copies printed for the annual meeting and our revised constitution. So thank you.
There are three stacks of papers out there, 75 copies of each one, and each one of those probably has between 20 and 40 pages in it. I didn't do the math. That's a whole lot of copying and stapling and collating. So thank you both for that. Let's hold all of these concerns and joys in together in prayer and then close with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Please pray with me. Holy One, it can be so hard when life throws us a curve that we weren't expecting, didn't want, and don't know how to handle. We pray for each of us who are facing these uncertainties, these losses, this sadness. God, by your presence, give us courage and strength. Give us encouragement and hope. Remind us that all of life, always, at all times, for all people, is held in your hands, and we are each and everyone safe forever in your care and keeping. We pray for this world that you have made so lovely and that is now in so much trouble from the anger and the hatred and the jealousy and the greed that is so much a part of what is the human experience. God, by that same spirit that brings us life, bring hope and joy and reconciliation into this world that you have created and loved so well and redeemed so fully. And loving God, hear us as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." For our invitation to the offering this morning, I want to read for you a passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body what you will wear? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive after all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. We will receive our morning offering at this time. Join me, please, in our prayer of gratitude. We bring these gifts out of gratitude, loving God, for your bountiful creation and your boundless generosity. Use what is given to bless your people everywhere. Use all of us to be the blessing you desire all the world to know. Amen. Before you sit down, and before we sing our closing hymn, if you would take a New Century hymnal and open it to number 881, almost to the back of the hymnal, we will say together the Apostles' Creed. It's way in the back, hard to find. It took me a minute. It's in the red hymnal too. Okay. In the back of the red hymnal or page 81 of the black hymnal. Are we ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 433 in the New Century. In the bulb there is a flower.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service live from the First United Church in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo.